I want to start with a story. With my wife and I were single. We were having a meeting with Pastor Sarah. This was a long time ago. And I remember that we were sitting at her office, and I was complaining about my wife. Well, back then she was still my girlfriend, my fiance. And I was letting her know, I was telling Pastor Sarah, this is what I don't like about Jessie. When I come to see her at her job, she used to work at the flower shop that we are now working again there. And that used to be their the family business. And I was telling Pastor Sarah, I usually come from work to see her, you know, to spend time with her after work. But every time I come, she's upset because she hasn't eaten lunch. So every time I come, she's not in a good mood, and she is upset. And I'm also coming from work, and I want to see her happy and just, you know, have a great time there and just, you know, enjoy ourselves. But she's upset because she hasn't had lunch. And, you know, it took me a few minutes to complain about the situation. And I remember Pastor Sarah looked at me and said, have you ever thought, because I was thinking, like, I was telling her, I don't like that I come from work to see her at her job, and she is upset instead of being happy to see me because she is hungry. So I don't understand if she's hungry, but now I'm here and she's not happy. And Pastor Sarah looked at me and said, have you ever thought of bringing her food when you come? And that day, I learned something different. In that little conversation, the Lord taught me to think different. I don't know, maybe you have had that kind of conversation with somebody. But that day, I just started thinking differently. And that's what the Lord wants to teach us today, to think differently. We have a commission to reach people, to disciple people, and then to send people. And we should be reaching people. We should be discipling people and then send them to reach more people and then disciple more people for Jesus so they know the Lord and how the Lord loves them. So use everything that you are doing in your life to reach somebody. I don't know what's your job. I don't know what is it that you do in your everyday life. But use every platform to reach somebody. Right now, my wife and I are running the flower shop. One day I was delivering flowers. And the Lord is going to use you. If you are willing to be interrupted in your life, He's gonna use you. When you read the word of the Lord, you will see that the greatest miracles Jesus performed was when he was interrupted. He was going to a place, and then he was interrupted by the woman of the issue of blood. I remember one day, I'll go back to the flower shop story later. But I remember one day I was in Tulsa for a men's meeting. And in Mexico, we didn't have Krispy Kreme donuts. You know Krispy Kreme donuts? Okay. And they're really good. So we decided with all the men, you know, men, we like to eat. And we decided to go to a Krispy Kreme store. And we went inside and I ordered 6 Krispy Kreme donuts for myself. And my latte. And I don't know, but I just went like in a corner and I sat down while the other guys were ordering their own food or coffee, whatever. And I was eating my donut, and I kind of saw them like talking to a guy there that he looked like he didn't look right. You know, he was kind of he looked messy, and they started talking to him, but he didn't look Spanish or Mexican. So and my guys from the church they didn't speak English, so I'm like, how they're talking to him? And then they were like talking to him, but they were having like a hard time trying to have a conversation with this man. And then they said, Pastor Enrique, can you come? And I tried to not look at them. I'm like, I'm eating my donuts. Don't interrupt me. And I'm drinking my coffee. And I like, Pastor Enrique. And then the guy comes running to me and say, we got you one. We got you one. I'm like, one what? They're like, yeah, you need to talk to him about Jesus. But he doesn't speak Spanish, so you have to do it. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, Lord, I'm here eating my donuts, drinking my coffee, and now I'm going to be interrupted by these guys to go and talk to this guy? And I'm like, okay. So I went, and yeah, the guy didn't speak Spanish. And I started sharing, you know, the gospel with him. And he told me, I came out of prison yesterday. And I'm here just, you know, I don't know what to do. I don't know where I'm going. And I said, you know, Jesus loves you. And I just started sharing the word with him. And at the end, I thought to bless him with some money. And I said, it was Saturday evening. And I told him, tomorrow, I said, I'm going to a church. I invite you to church tomorrow at 10. It's at Broken Arrow, and the church is called Rema Bible Church. And he's like, okay. So I just went to my hotel. The next morning, I was in church. Pastor Hagen was preaching. And I was just, you know, at the end, he was doing the altar call. And I remember this guy that was at Krispy Kreme, he was wearing a yellow jacket. So when he was doing the altar call, I remember, I'm like, oh, yesterday we invited this guy. I hope he's here. And he's, you know, hearing the altar call. So at the end, I was just standing there. And Pastor Hagen, he's like, if you want to accept the Lord, come forward right now. And there was like 10 people like walking to the front. And all of a sudden, I see a guy coming down the aisle, and he was wearing a yellow jacket. And he was the guy that was at Krispy Kreme the day before. And he accepted the Lord that day. I was willing to be interrupted. And trust me, the Lord is going to use you like that if you're willing to be interrupted. The other day, we were at the store, and we were working at a flower shop, you know. I'm a man that likes to work. And I was walking to go outside to do something. I think I was loading deliveries, flower deliveries. And my wife, she's like, Enrique, come. I need you to pray for this lady. Her mom is dying in El Salvador. And I was thinking to myself, why don't you pray for her? You don't have to interrupt me. I'm working here. You know, I'm trying to do things. And I'm like, okay, so what is it that you need? She's like, oh, my mom is dying. And she's like, let me show you a video about her. And she's, you know, some people, they're not good at using their cell phones. So it was taking a lot of time for her to show me the video. And yeah, the mom was dying in El Salvador. And I was trying to work, but the Holy Spirit decided to interrupt us, and we started to share the word with this lady, and we prayed for her, we prayed for the mom. She accepted the Lord as her Savior, and then 2 weeks later, she came and said, my mom passed away yesterday. Thank you for praying for us. Thank you for praying for me. It really helped me. So I'm telling you right now, the Lord wants you to be willing to be interrupted. And I can be here telling you story after story. And the Lord wants you to think differently. One day I was in a line at a Starbucks, and the Lord told me, pay for the guy in front of you, his coffee and everything. And I'm like, Lord, that's why I didn't want to come to Starbucks today. So I did it, and I told this guy, you know Jesus loves you? Because he told me, no, you don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. And he was a doctor, because apparently the Starbucks guys, the ones that are, you know, taking care of the customers, they knew him. And they're like, oh, doctor, you want the same? Yeah, the coffee, the sandwich. I'm like, okay, it's going to be more expensive than I thought. Okay. And then I pay for him, and he's like, you don't have to do this. And then he asked me, what is it that you do for a living? Because he was a doctor. And I'm like, I'm a pastor. He's like, a pastor? And he's like, I don't believe in all that kind of stuff. But you are too young to be a pastor. And I was about to say, and you are too old not to have accepted the Lord. But I refrained myself. I'm like, okay, let's not go there. Because he was 80 years old. So I was, and all of this is happening in the line. With customers behind me, with people in front of us. And I'm just sharing. Because one day, I was sitting with Pastor Sarah, and she taught me through the Lord, or the Lord taught me through her, to think differently. So church, if we're going to go to a different level, if we're going to grow, we need to think differently. Growth without change is impossible. Now, that was not part of the sermon, so it's going to take longer. And that's all your fault. God has a process. The enemy has a shortcut. God has a process. The enemy has a shortcut. In Ecclesiastes 3:1, and probably the verses are going to be on the screen. Ecclesiastes 3:1 from the New King James Version says, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. Everything in life has a season. And everything, and for everything there is a purpose. There is a time. And God uses natural things to show us or to help us understand spiritual things. He uses natural things to help us understand spiritual things. And all things in the natural, they have their season. Things are things. Things are apples. Things are oranges. Things are flowers. And so on. And there's a season for apples. And there's a season for oranges. Obviously, we live in the Walmart era, so we don't understand this. Because we go, and there's always apples. But there's a season for apples. And there's a season for oranges. There's a spring flowers, and there's summer flowers. And the Christian life also has its season, or there are seasons, and God has a purpose for each one of us. He does. And there are blessings for your life that have their season. There's blessings, there are things that the Lord wants you to do, but there's a season for that. And when I say this, I know it sounds like, I don't know if this is correct. It sounds like easy, like to our ears. It's just a phrase, but it's not that easy. Because sometimes we want those blessings, but it's not the season. and we get tired of believing. I really enjoy the second song that we were singing. It's not over yet. And when we don't see the blessing manifested in our life, we think it's over. And the Lord says, it's not over yet. Redeeming Love family, it's not over yet. It's not over yet for this church, for this ministry. I know that some people have already left because they thought it was over. But it's not over yet. And there's gonna, new people are gonna come. And they're gonna grasp that faith that it's not over yet. They're gonna embrace the vision. And they're gonna say, okay, it's not over yet. Redeeming Love. The season for redeeming love is not over yet. The season for the love that redeems is not over yet. Amen. The season for the love that redeems is not over yet. Now, I know there's blessings that the Lord already gave us that you don't have to wait for the season. For example, healing is not a blessing that you wait for the season, because the season for healing is all year long. You don't have to wait for the season of healing. You don't have to wait, oh, I have to wait until December so I can get healed. No. God is good, and the season for healing, it's all year long. You can always get your healing. And whenever God is taking you to a new season, he's not going to show you everything, because you will get scared. You're scared already, so. But he's going to start letting you know little by little. You know, when you come to a tree, that the fruit or the season for that fruit is near, because you see a small flower on the tree, and you know season is almost here for oranges. And we just keep believing. And God does it that way before the season arrives. So it doesn't matter what part of the season you are in, your job is to keep believing in the Lord. Keep believing that the Lord will fulfill his word. I know the Lord spoke prophecies over this ministry, and it's not over yet. And our job is to keep believing that the Lord is faithful. He always fulfills his word. Always. Thank you. Always. I know that sometimes, maybe it's just me, but I know that sometimes you see your brother or sister and they're being blessed with things that you are believing for, but you are not getting them. And you feel like, ah, I can't believe they're getting those things. I know we don't say these things. Maybe it's just me. I don't know. I don't understand why are they getting all these blessings, and I'm here believing for 3 days and I'm not getting anything. All right, a week. And we get kind of, what's happening? Why am I not getting all these blessings? Because maybe it's not your season yet. Because for everything, there's a season. I'm trying to help you today, not to get discouraged. Trust me, there's things that are not going to happen overnight. And at the end of this teaching, you will understand better. Maybe it's not your season. Paul said it this way in Galatians 6:9. Let's read it. Galatians 6:9 from the New King James Version says, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." Say it with me, in due season. I remember I used to, there used to be a guy that he will come to me and say, "Pastor," he was single. He's like, "I don't have a girlfriend and I want to get married. And I'm already old." And he was already old. And he's like, "When am I going to get married? I want my wife." And I would tell him, "You have to be patient. You have to keep believing the Lord." And he will say, "But how long?" And I'm like, "I don't know." And then he will come back to me like, I don't know, 6 months after. And he will ask me the same, "Pastor, I need a wife. I want to get married. I'm getting old." And he did it like for, I don't know, 5 years. And then he went to work in another city and he will email me, "Pastor, I need a wife. I need to get married. I'm getting old." And I will tell him, "Look, you have to keep believing. Don't lose heart." And at the end, he started to get upset. And he will tell me things that were not nice. And I'm like, "Just keep believing. Don't lose heart." And I saw, like, I think it was like a couple of years ago, he got married. And I'm like, "He's not coming to me to say thank you." No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. He doesn't need to come to me. But I just want to talk to him again and say, "You see, you got your wife. The Lord will always fulfill his word. Be patient." Look, I know that today is Sunday morning. Every one of you look patient today. Because we are in church. But trust me, when I want to eat popcorn and I get the package and put it in the microwave and it says wait for 3 minutes, I don't want to wait 3 minutes. Maybe it's only me, but I'm like, "Oh, this is taking too long," after 30 seconds. And the Bible says in due season. That's a very important phrase. In due season. When is due season? Well, in due season. "Pastor, when is due season?" I don't know. I do not know. I wish I know, but I don't know. "Pastor Enrique, but when is my blessing coming?" I don't know. In due season. In due season. Just don't get tired while doing good. Don't lose heart. In due season. Remember, every natural thing has its season. Don't worry. Every divine purpose under heaven has its season. Don't worry. My season and your season might be different. They are not the same. Don't lose heart. When God speaks a word to you, when the Lord speaks something to you, there's a time that goes by from the time that he speaks the word to you and the time that that word comes to pass. That's due season. That's the season. And that time is called a process. Remember I told you, God has a process, the enemy has a shortcut. Have you ever been driving with somebody that says, here, I'm going to show you a shortcut. Take this road. And the trip that it was going to take you an hour, it takes you 2 hours. Because you took the shortcut. That it was supposed to take you there a little bit faster. But guess what? The enemy has shortcuts. And the Lord has a process. And the enemy is going to tell you, take this shortcut. It's going to be faster. And if you take it, it's going to take you longer. In due season. Jeremiah 29:11 says, because it takes time from the word that is given from the Lord until we get to harvest the fulfillment of that word. And that time, that period, is called a process. And that process, you have to, whatever you are sowing or whatever that word was given to you, you have to water that word. You have to take care of that word. You have to keep believing in that prophecy or whatever it is that the Lord told you. And that's a process. Do not abort the process. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans that I have for you. Who knows the plans? You or God? Okay. And let me tell you, sometimes you will not know the plan, but the Lord knows the plan. As long as the Lord knows the plans, I'm happy. But some Christians, they want to know the plans. Look, I was sitting the other day with Pastor Ed in his office. He's like, what's the plan? And I'm like, I don't have a plan. He's like, okay. I'm like, I've been serving the Lord for 26 years. And I haven't had a plan for 26 years. I never had a plan to be a pastor in Mexico City. And you know, the only time that I had a plan, God came and said, okay, that's not the plan. Because my plan was to go back to Mexico and get a great job in a big company, which I did. And in one day, they raised me my salary 4 times in 1 hour. Because I came in there like, oh, do you know how to use computers? Yes, okay, come here. We're going to pay you more. Okay. Do you know administration? Yes, okay, come this line. We're going to pay you more. And then, do you speak English? Yes. What's the percentage of your English? I'm like, I don't know. I just speak English. Okay, come this line then. We're going to pay you more. And then I was doing great. And that was my plan in Mexico. And the Lord came and said, okay, that's not the plan. So when people ask me, so what's the plan? I don't know. But he knows the plans. The Lord says, I know the plans that I have for you, redeeming love. And it's not over yet. I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. The only thing that I know is that those plans are for me to prosper. Isn't it that the word says? For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Oh, thank you, Lord, for your plans. Thank you, Lord, because your plans are for me to prosper. Your plans are for me to have a hope and a future. And you know what? After the Lord told me, okay, you're going to resigned that job, and he never told me, okay, this is the plan now. I didn't have a plan. And I remember I was going to a Bible school back then, to Rema. So I resigned. I went to my boss and said, Emmanuel, his name was Emmanuel, I'm quitting. I'm resigning. He looked at me like, okay, we just raised you your salary again last week, and you are resigning? He's like, okay, let's do this. Let's talk tonight. I'm going to take you to a taqueria, and we're going to eat some tacos, and we're going to talk there, okay? Apparently, he knew that I like to eat, so. And I remember it was around 9 o'clock p.m., and he's like, we were eating some tacos. He's like, you're crazy. I don't understand why you're resigning. You have all these benefits and everything, and you're telling me that you are resigning? I'm like, yes. And he's like, so what is it that you're doing? And I'm like, nothing. Because I didn't have a plan. So next day, I'm in school, in Bible school, and I'm like, I'm doing nothing. I'm just coming to school, Bible school. And trust me, I've been working when I came to New York, when I was 12 years old, I used to be a dishwasher in a restaurant in Lexington Avenue and 23rd Street. And the best thing that I liked about that job was the breakfast. Remember, I come from a very poor family in Mexico, so we didn't have enough to eat. So when I came to New York and I got a job and I was working there, and they will ask me, what is it that you want for breakfast? A 2 over easy with bacon, home fries, and a large Tropicana orange juice. And they used to pay me $20 for that Saturday and Sunday, because I wasn't a Christian, I wasn't going to church. But I didn't have a plan. And whenever I had a plan, the Lord says, that's not the plan. But you have to be happy, not knowing the plan. The Lord is going to show you some things, and he's going to say, okay, do this. Trust me, I know that you have plans for you, your tithe and your offering. But the Lord says, it's not your plan. Okay, let me say that again. You know that people, when they tithe, they put there on the envelope, can you use this for to feed the children or whatever? Well, that's your plan. But that's not God's plan. It sounds good. And maybe it's a good plan. But that's not God's plan. Okay. I know you have plans for your money. And I know you want to see the church do different things with your money. But that's your plan. I was a pastor for 15 years in Mexico, and people will come and say, okay, do this and that. I'm like, okay, that's your plan. But that's not the plan for this church. That's not God's plans for this church. Trust me, I will end up with something more joyful. God is a God of miracles, but most of the time, you will be subject to the law of sowing and reaping to see the miracle happen. And that is a process. A process. The plan of God for your life is a process in due season. The strategy of the enemy for your life is a shortcut. The devil is going to offer you shortcuts. And the devil has shortcuts that will get you away from the plan of God for your life. And you know, the shortcuts that the devil offers you, they will delay you, they will destroy you if you continue on that shortcut. Now, let me give you examples, because I know that maybe some of you are like, I don't know what happened to this Mexican pastor, but I'm not liking this teaching. Because you know what? Every one of us, we want the person sitting next to us to complete their process, but not us. I want the shortcut. And we live in a culture that everybody wants a shortcut. I want to reach now. I don't want to work 10 years. I don't want to wait 10 years. I want to meet a girl and get married with her in a week. When I wanted to get married here in RLCC, we went to see, somebody in the administration. And they told us, you have to be a member of this church for a year before you get married. I'm like, I've been coming here for 2 years, and I found out that I wasn't a member. And now I have to have a year of membership to get married. I said to my wife, no, let's go to a Catholic church and get married. And I was really upset. And I don't want to find out who was that person in the administration that told me that. I'm just kidding. I wanted a shortcut. I don't want to wait. And we got, you know, huge argument with my wife. But she's really tough. I mean, if it wasn't for her, I know the Lord uses her to bring stability to my life, because I'm just crazy. I mean, and she's like, no, I'm not going to go to the Catholic Church. I want the pastors to marry us. And I'm like, but I don't want to wait another year. And then after that year, they're like, we cannot marry you because you are illegally in this country. I'm like. So when I'm telling you about a process, I'm telling you something that I went through. I'm not telling you just a sermon that I heard from somebody. It's something that I went through. I know what a process is. And you know that there's not only one process in your life. And you want to tell the Lord, come on, can we cut down the process? And instead of five, I can do two. So I went through the process. Now, let me give you some examples. Remember Adam and Eve? Satan came and offered them a shortcut to be like God, knowing good and evil. The Lord had a plan for them. The Lord wanted to rule the planet, the world through them. But Satan came and said, eat this fruit. It's a shortcut. You're going to get there faster. And that shortcut killed them both. And it affected the whole human race. A shortcut. Remember Cain and Abel? When they came to offer a sacrifice to the Lord, and one was acceptable to the Lord, and the other wasn't acceptable to the Lord? Listen to me. Today, when you are giving your offering, some offerings are not going to be acceptable to the Lord, and some are. And the Lord told Cain, why are you so upset? You know that sin is knocking on your door? In other words, the Lord was bringing correction to Cain. That was the process. And the plan of the Lord was, okay, Cain, this is the process. He was supposed to repent and said, you know what, Lord? You are right. How many of you know that the Lord is always right? It's good to know and to be remembered that the Lord is always right. But he didn't accept the correction. And he went and killed his brother. In the first offering in the Bible, 50% of the congregation got upset. Came, because there was only two. In the first offering, somebody got killed. There's still people getting upset during offering nowadays. It's not something new. But Cain didn't take the process. Remember Abraham? His wife offered him a shortcut to get to the destination. And he had a son with Hagar, Ishmael. Remember him? And have you seen lately the mess that this shortcut gave the Middle East? That mess is because of a shortcut. That family argument has been there for centuries. Because that day, Abraham said, well, my wife is offering me a shortcut. I mean, who's not going to take it? But it was a shortcut. Obviously, later on, Abraham repented and he did it. He did the right thing with Isaac. Remember Jesus? Here's an example that somebody didn't take the shortcut. When Jesus was in the desert, and it says that he was fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, and the devil came and said, if you bow down to me, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. That was the shortcut. But Jesus, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, didn't take the shortcut. He went through the process. He went through the cross. He endured everything that the Lord had for him. So I'm telling you, for everything, there's a process from the Lord. The process comes from God. The shortcuts are from Satan. Many times we reject the process and we take the shortcut. And shortcuts create bondages. It's a trap from the devil. We have to be very careful. Now, I know shortcuts are very tempting because sometimes the Lord is going to give you a plan or something to do, and it seems impossible. Actually, every time the Lord tells you to do something, it will seem impossible. But everything is possible for those who believe. And there's a story in the Bible, in Luke chapter 1, verse 26, about the Virgin Mary. And remember that the angel comes to Mary and says, you're having a son. And you're going to call him Jesus. And he's going to save the world. And then Mary, she asked the angel a question. How this will be? How is it that it's going to happen since I'm a virgin? Because how many of you know that if you are a virgin, you cannot give birth to a son? Correct? You are very intelligent. It's not possible. So her question was an honest question. I remember when the Lord told me, go back to Mexico. I was 26 years old, living in New York, living La Vida Loca in New York. And now the Lord wants me to go back to Mexico City. And it was the first time for me living that I was going to live in Mexico City. Even though I'm from Mexico, I never lived in Mexico City before. And I'm like, Lord, how's it going to be? I don't have a place to live. It wasn't like, oh, I have a rich aunt that she's going to lend me a house. And I remember we were praying with my wife. in our house, in her house in Queens, and we used to have a Mazda or a car, and we were praying in the car, and we were like, okay, Lord, you're going to bless us, you're going to prosper us. And then the Lord says, okay, you're going to give your car away to this person. Don't sell it. Give it to her as a gift. We already had a plan to sell the car and have money, extra money to go back to Mexico. And now the Lord is like, okay, don't sell the car, just give it to them. I'm like, Lord, that plan is not going to work. So the Virgin Mary, she's like, okay, it sounds great that my son is going to save the world. Oh, great, but I'm a virgin. How is it going to be? How is it going to be, Lord? And I remember, like, we went to this family's house and told them, the Lord told us to give our car to you. Here are the keys. They're like, okay, and do we have to pay you something? We're like, no, don't worry. Just, you don't have to pay us anything. And we went to our house and we're like, okay, now we don't have that extra money. And I remember, like, a week before we left to Mexico, a person called me and says, I know you're going back to Mexico, and I have a house in Mexico that I'm not using it. You can use the house to live in Mexico. And that person right now is sitting in RLCC Español. And then I got to Mexico, and I was living in this house, and she called me. She's like, you know what? I'm not using the house. I don't want the house. The house is for you. You don't have to pay me anything. So she gave me a house. The Lord gave me a house. That wasn't my plan, obviously. And then I moved from that house, and I was receiving a rent from that house. I'm like, wow, Lord, you're just great. The Lord knows the plans that he has for you. He knows the plan that he has for redeeming love. And the love that redeems, the season is not over yet. Amen? And this is the answer the angel gave Mary. He's like, in verse 34, 35, he says, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Whenever you are worried, whenever you don't know what's the next step, remember this. The Holy Spirit will come to you. The Holy Spirit needs to come upon us in order for the season to be the right one, in order for the plan to be the correct one for this church. Holy Spirit, come to us. Show us what's the next step. We don't want to do men's ideas. We want to do God's ideas. We want to follow God's plan. So don't worry. The Holy Spirit will come on you. There is no easy way. There is no hard way. There's only God's way. So please, don't be looking for an easy way, or don't be looking for the hard way. It's God's way. And sometimes it's going to be easy, and sometimes it's going to be hard. But just enjoy the ride and say, Lord, this, trust me, in 26 years, sometimes it's been easy, like that house. Well, first of all, it wasn't easy to give out my car. But then it was easy. And then I can tell you stories when it wasn't easy, when it was hard. And then I'm back in New York, and this is easy. Because I used to, for me, it was just amazing to live in New York. So when the Lord told me to go back to Mexico, I'm like, I don't want to go back to Mexico. And now I'm back in New York. And I'm enjoying my time here. And now he says, okay, now you're going to preach in English. I'm like, Lord, that wasn't the plan. This wasn't my plan. I was telling my wife this morning. I'm like, this wasn't the plan. And the Lord says, yeah, because I know the plans that I have for you. And he knows the plans that he has for this church. Now, this is the last part that I want to share with you. And I'm really praying and believing that you're going to grasp what I'm trying to teach you and what the Holy Spirit is trying to tell this church. This is the definition of a process, what we are about to read in the Word of the Lord. Because you have to ask yourself or ask the Lord, so what's a process? And this is the definition. I'm going to give you a few scriptures. First of all, let's go to Hebrews 5, 7, 8. And I hope you are ready. And I'm praying that the Holy Spirit is going to help you, so you don't get scared. Hebrews 5, 7 and 8 says, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. He was heard because of his reverent submission. Say submission. So though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered. He learned what? How? From what he suffered. Now, the suffering that I'm about to talk about is not sickness, is not pain or poverty, because the Lord already provided healing for us. But Jesus was persecuted, and he said, you are going to be persecuted for my name's sake. If you are doing the will of the Lord, you are going to be persecuted. Show me a Christian that is doing the will of the Lord, and I will show you a Christian that is being persecuted. So Jesus says, or the word of the Lord says, that Jesus learned obedience from what he suffered. In other words, the author of our salvation learned obedience through the process. And let me ask you something. You don't have to raise your hand or say amen. How many of you want to learn obedience? How many of you want to be obedient to the Lord? Well, Jesus learned obedience how? Through suffering. Lord, but I don't want to suffer. Oh, I thought you want to learn obedience. And maybe some of you are thinking, I thought you said you were going to end with something more joyful. Well, I'm not finished yet. Hebrews 2:10. One more scripture. It says, Hebrews 2:10. In bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through what he suffered. How many of you want to be made perfect? Well, now you are not so excited as the one before. Through what he suffered, Jesus was made perfect, or he matured through the process, through the suffering. And the process means that you have to wait, that you have to be patient, There is pressure in life and in ministry, and you have to learn to be steadfast, to not dismayed, to not get tired of world doing, to not put the don't get tired of putting one foot after the other. Keep walking, keep believing the Lord. It's not over yet. Don't lose heart. It's not over yet. And Jesus learned obedience. I remember one day when I was, I think, probably 9 years old. My dad, he was still alive. He thought that I stole some money. And it wasn't true. I didn't steal the money. But he thought, you know, how parents sometimes think they're right and they aren't. But since they're the parents, they say, I'm right. So he grabbed a cable. I think it was from the iron, the cable. And he hit me 3 times with the cable. He's like, you're not supposed to steal. 1, 2, 3. He hit me around this area. Still hurts. But that day, I learned obedience, not to steal. Now, I'm not telling you, go to your house and hit your children. I used to be a sinner, obviously, without Christ. But I was never a drinker. And you know why? Because I remember I was living in the Bronx. And I was here for only a couple of months from Mexico. And I went to the store and I bought 2 Twinkies. I don't know if they still have those. It was a strawberry Twinkies. And I came to the apartment, you know, really, really happy. I'm going to eat my Twinkies. And my sister, my oldest sister, Sophia, she saw me with the Twinkies. And she's like, what are you doing? I'm like, eating my Twinkies. That's garbage. You're not supposed to eat that. How come you bought those stuff? That's just not good for you. And she started just yelling at me. I'm like, I got really scared. And I throw away the Twinkies. And after that, whenever I was offered a beer or a drink, I would just think on my sister. If she yelled at me for 2 Twinkies, can you imagine what she's going to do to me if I drink? I'm not doing this. Jesus was made perfect, mature, through the process, through suffering. 1 Peter 5:10. We want to be like Jesus? Who wants to be like Jesus? I don't think everybody is raising their hand like, okay, maybe next week. We should be like Jesus. But he learned obedience through what he suffered. 1 Peter 5:10 says, from the NIV, and the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. Brother Hagen used to say, show me a Christian that is strong, firm, and steadfast, and I will show you a Christian that has suffered, that has been through things, that has been through a process, because it's the process that will make you strong. The shortcuts will make you weak. Yes or no? People now, after the pandemic, They're not going back to church. A lot of people are not coming back to churches. I'm not just talking about this church. Everywhere. They're saying that almost 60% of the members are not coming back to church. Because the enemy is showing them shortcuts. This is an easier way. But the Lord has a process. The process equals suffering. Suffering means pressure in life. Suffering means patience. Suffering means submission. Submission, dear church, dear Redeeming Love Church, submission is not being in agreement. Whenever you say, I'm going to submit because I agreed with you, you are not submitting, you are agreeing with me. And that's okay. It's okay to agree with people. But the Lord submitted himself to God to go to the cross. Remember he was saying, if there's another way, if this cup can pass me, and if there's another way, there's people that say, I usually submit to leadership, but this time I'm not submitting because I don't agree with them. Let me tell you something. That's the first opportunity you have to really submit. I'm going to say it again. There's people that say, I usually submit to the leadership, but this time I'm not going to submit because I don't agree with what they're doing. And I'm telling you here, and I'm telling you right now, that's the first opportunity you have for real submission. Can somebody make some noise so we can... Look, the Bible says that you have to submit even to those that are hard. I don't know how it says in English, but in Spanish it says difíciles de soportar, that are hard to deal with. That's what the Bible says. Has anybody read that verse lately? And look, I worked for a leadership in Mexico. It was hard today, no, because I used to preach in front of them this. And they would used to laugh, Pastor Tim and Pastor Ron. And I used to tell them, there's people that are leaders that are hard to work with. Right, Pastor Ron? And she started laughing. Like Pastor Sarah, you know, they're tough, hard to deal with. One day my wife, we were talking, and she's like, you think it's easy to live with you? It is hard to live with you. And you know what? I went to my room. I'm like, I started thinking, like, but I'm really nice. And my wife thinks that it's hard to live with me. I'm not saying that you have to submit to leadership when they're doing things illegally or immoral. But if it's not illegal and it's not immoral, but you just don't like it, you have to submit. Look, I'm a guy that I like things to be done the way I like it. That's the truth. But sometimes I know I have to submit to leadership, to things, and how it's done. And that's the process. That's the pressure. And the Lord has a new season for us. And there's going to be things that are going to be different. And you have to be okay with it. And say, okay, it's different. Amen? learn to wait upon the Lord. And that waiting sometimes is hard. It's hard. The process is hard. I remember when my wife decided to enroll in Bible school. That wasn't my plan. And the first day I was there sitting with her, because I didn't want her to travel by herself in the train in Mexico City. And in Mexico City, there's 25 million in a city. Imagine going right in the subway at rush hour. That first day that we went to the school, we didn't have a car in Mexico. It was thousands of people trying to get into the train like this. And I remember it took us like five trains to finally get on one. And I said, you know what? I'm going to enroll in school just to come with you. I don't want you to ride by yourself in the train. And I was sitting down there in school, Bible school, listening to the teachers. I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing here. These guys don't know anything. And the Lord said, okay, you're going to learn, enroll in school. That's the plan. And I'm like, I don't like that plan. And after I don't know how many years, I was the dean of the school. And then after a few years, I was the national director of the schools. I'm like, Lord, this is just unbelievable. And right now, when the pandemic was going on and I wasn't being the pastor, we hadn't opened the church Espanol, I'm like, Lord, this is good. I don't want to be a pastor anymore. That's what I said many times, not only once. I was driving with my wife many times. I'm like, you know what? I don't want to be a pastor anymore. This is so much fun. Not going to church on Sundays. I just going to play. I don't know. Just different things. And the Lord is like, that's not the plan. Let's do this. Well, let me finish with this story. I remember when my daughter was around 5 years old, and we would take trips to Acapulco. And I started driving. And to Acapulco from Mexico City is like 4 hours and a half. And I was driving, and after like 15 minutes, my daughter, she's like, Daddy, are we there yet? I'm like, Nia, no. It's going to take us 4 hours. We've been driving only for 15 minutes. Okay, so don't worry. We're going to get there. And then after, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, she will ask me again, Daddy, are we there yet? I'm like, Nia, the trip is like 4 hours. So don't worry. You have your chips, your candy. Just enjoy the ride, okay? We're going to get there. After, I don't know, 30 minutes, an hour, she's like, Daddy, are we there yet? I'm like, Nia, you see this watch here that it says 12? We're going to get to Acapulco when it says 3. Because we already have an hour driving there. And she's like, okay. After 15 minutes, Daddy, are we there? I'm Nia. If you keep asking me, I'm going to go back to the house and we're not going to the beach. We're not going to Acapulco because you keep asking. I already told you we're going to get there. Just enjoy the ride. And you know what? The Lord knows those plans. And he's driving you somewhere. But you keep asking him, when, Lord? When is it going to happen? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Lord, when? And you start crying. When is this going to happen? I don't want to do it. And the Lord is like, okay. I'm driving. When the Lord is the driver, you are not the co-pilot. You're sitting in the back. Don't tell him where to go. He knows where he's going. Your behavior during the process is really important in order for you to get to the destination. Obviously, I wasn't going to go back to my house and not take my daughter to Acapulco. But I see in the Bible, people took shortcuts and they never got to their destination. We're going somewhere. I know some of you are like, yeah, Pastor Enrique, but where? I don't know. Yeah, Pastor Enrique, but when? I don't know. In due season, don't get tired of well-doing. Close your eyes for some moment. Maybe some of you are here, and you already know. And the Holy Spirit already told you that you took a shortcut. And you know it. Maybe it's time to repent. Maybe it's time to change your attitude. Maybe it's time to stop asking all these questions. So I just want to pray with you and for you. Maybe you are taking shortcuts as parents. And you are not having those hard conversations with your kids. Because you'd rather take a shortcut instead of going the process. Maybe you're taking a shortcut in your marriage. You're not doing what you're supposed to do. Because the process, sometimes, it means to have those hard conversations. Or maybe you are in a shortcut as a church member. Maybe you are asking too many questions because you don't know when it's going to happen. And maybe you are saying, I don't believe that anymore. It's time to come to the Lord and repent. So I don't want to embarrass nobody, obviously. And while everybody has their eyes closed, I want you to, if that's you, and you are ready to take the process again, in whatever is it that the Lord is dealing with you, I want you to stand up right there where you are. You don't have to come up front. Just stand up right there where you are. The Lord is going to do something great in your life. And just like Abraham knew that he had taken a shortcut with Hagar. You stand up right there where you are, telling the Lord, I'm ready to take the process again. Maybe it's none of these things that I mentioned, but you know the Holy Spirit is dealing with you. It's time to do it differently. Thank you. I just want to pray with you. Want to pray for you. And if it's that you can stand up right there where you are. And I want to pray for you. I want to pray with you. And I want you to tell the Lord right now where you are. Say, Lord, I come to you to repent for not following your process. Right now, I decide to follow your plan, even though I don't know the plan. Even when I don't know the plan, I decide today to follow your process. Thank you, Holy Spirit, because you are with me and you're helping me to know the plan. You are helping me along the way to do what the Lord is asking me to do. In Jesus' name, amen. You can sit down. Thank you. Thank you for your honesty. The Lord is going to help you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We are ready, Lord, to think differently. We are ready, Lord, to do what you're asking this church to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I just want to say, if there's somebody here that doesn't know the Lord as their Lord and Savior, and you want to accept Jesus, and also people watching online, let's do this prayer. If somebody is here or somebody's watching, this prayer is for you to be born again, to accept the Lord, to say, Lord, I'm tired of doing it my way. I want to do it your way. So let's do this prayer and help these people, if they're watching or somebody's here, to just come to Jesus and receive forgiveness and be born again. Let's do this prayer. Lord Jesus, I ask you today to forgive me of all my sins. I give you my heart, and I believe that you were raised from the dead to justify me. Thank you, Jesus, for receiving me, in the family of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Dear church, thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for being here. The Lord has a great plan, and it's not over yet.